Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, going to be partly cloudy. Do have a chance for some showers. We'll have a high around 63 degrees. Kenosha right now is 48. It's 49 in Burlington, Milwaukee 50, and 48 in Racine. Racine's Monument Square, the scene of a rally that drew hundreds of people to demand an immediate reinstatement of DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Among the speakers, from 1st District Congressional candidates Kathy Myers and Randy Bryce, was Bryce saying that as a veteran, he thinks the president's action not in the best interest of the country he fought to protect. This woman telling the crowd her parents and grandparents came to the U.S. from Jamaica and Barbados illegally to make a better life for their family.
As a woman of color, I know for a fact that the system is not for minorities. In order to succeed in this country, you need perseverance and opportunity. It's heartbreaking to know that without DACA, undocumented children would not have as much opportunity anymore. Everyone in this country is an immigrant, unless you're indigenous, so it's funny to see white immigrants in power try so hard to get rid of people who came here for the same reasons as their ancestors did.
The crowd marching past Congressman Paul Ryan's office, then up Main Street and State Streets to the statue of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The rally, one of a dozen held around the country yesterday, the president tweeting last night that he would revisit DACA if Congress fails to act to legalize the program in 6 months. The Racine Area Manufacturers and Commerce supporting Melvin Hargrove in the upcoming special election for mayor. The group's board of directors reviewing all candidates on their voting records, experience, prioritization of jobs and economic growth, as well as pro-business initiatives, and deciding to formally endorse Hargrove. President Matt Montemurro in a statement saying that RAMAC believes Melvin Hargrove is the best candidate to help lead the city in the right direction to ensure a vibrant, thriving community and better future for our city and its citizens. The primary election is September the 19th. The top two vote-getters out of the six candidates squaring off in the October 17th general election. State legislature's Joint Finance Committee approving the Foxconn incentives package, which now leaves it up to the Senate and then the Assembly, which also means that we could finally know where this monstrous production plant is going to be built, in Mount Pleasant or in Kenosha County. During last night's Racine Common Council Citizens' Comments, Jobs for All champion Alfonso Gardner urged aldermen to tie needed water access, if Mount Pleasant is the site, to a residency preference provision for jobs with Foxconn, like has occurred at least twice in Milwaukee successfully.
The Mutual building, and that's a private company, without being asked, they did it because they are good citizens. They hired 1,200 workers who were unskilled and unemployed from the city. The Bucks Arena, we gave them money, whether y'all believe that or not. The Bucks did it too. They put 40% of Milwaukee residents who were underemployed. They did it. We could do it here.
The council meeting began late because of a closed committee of the whole and what the agenda listed as discussion regarding available wastewater capacity to support growth-related development. Council would later send the Finance Committee a recommendation to fund what the Waterworks Commission report calls a possible Racine Water Distribution Expansion Project and an intermunicipal agreement between the city, Mount Pleasant, and the water utility about a diversion application. The Burlington Common Council likely going to hold a special meeting later this month to deal with the issue of police and fire dispatch operations taken down by last month's flooding, now at the point of deciding whether to put everything back together locally or join Racine County's consolidated dispatch operation. The special meeting would be needed simply because at least two of the aldermen are going to be unable to attend the normally scheduled business meeting on September the 19th.
If I don't have a full council, I don't want to talk about it on the 19th.
If you don't have a quorum or a full council?
Well, both, all of the above.
Well, we won't have a full council because we know we're
missing. So if I'm going to have three off, then more than likely I'll push it to the October meeting.
Well, three off, we don't have a quorum. We need six for quorum. So we know we're missing
two. So I've got two for sure that it won't be here.
City Administrator Karina Walters and Council President John Schultz leading the discussion about how to handle it, other aldermen chiming in about wanting to be a part of that discussion. The council told last month that putting local dispatch back the way it was prior to the flooding would cost upwards of $250,000. The county took over Burlington's dispatch for a time and made the offer to join days afterward, though council members have expressed concern about giving up the local component. And the man whose son was shot and killed by a Kenosha police officer nearly 13 years ago urged the county board last night to call for an independent investigation into his son's death. Michael Bell, advocating for the law that now requires an outside agency investigation, fatal police shootings, after Kenosha officers involved in his son's death were exonerated. He went before the board asking supervisors for the new investigation, noting the recent referee's report on allegations of misconduct by former DA Robert Zaff in an evidence tampering case suggesting that the Kenosha Police Department took part in a cover-up. Bell passing out a booklet to supervisors urging them to look at the facts in his son's death, which he said, quote, don't add up.
To the best of my knowledge, the county board has three major powers, and the one I'm interested is your ability to be quasi-judicial. In that role, you are the liaison between the public and the many branches of government. And this board has the constitutional authority to promote the best interests of this county. 15 people in this room have, there are 15 districts within the city of Kenosha that may be exposed to police misconduct, and it has to stop.
Bell said he and his family are prepared to abide by the findings from the independent investigation. The family sued the city of Kenosha and the police department, then reached an out-of-court settlement later on with the city, admitting no wrongdoing or liability for the younger Bell's death. Kenosha County Board Chair Kim Brunig telling the Kenosha News it's unlikely the board will forward Bell's request to Sheriff David Beth. A worker at the Mount Pleasant Piggly Wiggly store on Washington Avenue accused of taking the employee discount a little too far. 36-year-old Ricardo Mora from Zion, Illinois, whose job is in the meat department, allegedly concealed $128 worth of ribs and steaks in his clothing last Friday and then walked out of the store without paying for it. Court documents had police being told the store's loss prevention employee got a tip that Mora was stealing meat and saw him concealing packages in his clothes. Mora, charged with misdemeanor retail theft, he's pleaded not guilty, will be back before a judge in October. The Kenosha Sheriff's Office identifies the driver of a car killed over the weekend in the 18500 block of Highway 142, a passerby discovering the crash site in the north ditch near the Des Plaines River. The victim, 26-year-old Dion Franklin of Kenosha, excessive speed appears to have contributed. 2018 is going to bring resurfacing to the intersection of West 6th Street and South Memorial Drive in Racine and a right-turn-only lane designation heading south, while the Racine Council also voting last night to make Carlisle and Gould Street a four-way stop. The turn lane was requested by Alderman Q.A. Shakur.
If you look at Washington Avenue and Ohio Street's intersection, it's basically the same thing. Now, let me add another one to it. You can compare 14th Street and Racine Street. And it's got a right turn only. Now, the fact of the matter is that this is dangerous to vehicles and mainly pedestrians. It's imperative that we improve the safety.
Alderman Henry Perez felt the road ought to be remarked this year, even with the resurfacing next year. On the 8-5 vote for additional stop signs at Carlisle and Gould, Alderman Ray DeHaan noted police reports show 8 accidents there since 2010.
One of the things brought up at our meeting was the frequency of accidents down there, and I think that's something that should be under consideration. People that live in that area have often mentioned it. We've talked about this several years in a row, and I think it's about time we do it.
The Traffic Commission will have another stop sign request at its next meeting for Carlton Drive and Center Street. Also concerns about speeding on Gulf Avenue and a couple of blocks of Park Avenue. Business owners on Racine's Eaton Lane from Rapids Drive to the cul-de-sac will not have to pay an average of $24,000 next year for the city to repave that stretch in a joint project with Mount Pleasant. The council voting 7-6 to rescind a previous approval based on the Public Works Committee report. The committee recommendation to delete was accepted, but legislative housekeeping prevented the required resolution from being voted on until the next council meeting. Also, the council supports a bulky waste collection plan to go with the incoming semi-automated cart collection system for regular garbage. And that includes the 4 annual free pickups plus one special collection after the 4th of July. Pickup after Christmas has been taken out of the mix. Alderman Jason Meekmas at his talks with DPW indicated that time frame could be covered anyway by enhanced operations.
They're going to be putting in extra time to ensure that all the garbage pickup is going to happen, to make sure that people don't have excess that necessarily doesn't fit into their can. They already have a plan in place to do that. So adding a bulky waste pickup day was concerning because they were afraid that they were also going to be having to find time to work into their already very taxing schedule during that time of year to pick up couches or anything else that people decide that they're going to try and dispose of at that same time.
The council vote 9-4 in favor of the amended bulky waste plan. And as crews prepare to raise the existing pool and bathhouse in Burlington, a ceremonial groundbreaking taking place yesterday at the site of the new community pool. Burlington residents passing a referendum back in November last year to allow the city to spend up to $5.4 million to fund construction of the new, larger pool. Daryl Eisenhart heads up the pool board, says the new facility, a long time coming.
Just so exciting for us. It's a long time coming. It was a long time planning. You know, I think that this community needs to have a big thank you also for supporting this and the referendum. And I think this whole city is just going to love this when this is finished.
Demolition to the bathhouse and existing pool expected to be completed this week. The new pool facility scheduled to open up Memorial Day next year. WRJN.com is our webpage. We keep our newscast in the local news section. Also throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.